Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining Jewish Stories and More. Today, I have a beautiful story to tell you, which I just heard from one of my rabbis. There's a story about a chassid that was asked by the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe to do a shlichus, to do a mission in Canada. He had to travel from America to Canada, and his job was to visit a number of Jewish communities and to try to inspire them to strengthen their Judaism, to strengthen in their learning of Torah and their doing of mitzvahs, and so forth. And so, this was many, many years ago, before the thousands of shluchim that have been sent by the Rebbe out all over the world. And shlichus was kind of a new thing. And therefore, this chassid asked the Rebbe a question, which we might feel the answer is obvious. The question was, what do I get from going on the shlichus? Now, today, our perspective is, what do you mean? I get to be a shlich of the Rebbe. That's what bigger reward could you ask than that? Be a shlich of the Rebbe to go and spread Yiddishkeit and strengthen Yiddishkeit and teach people about Mashiach and so forth. But what could be a bigger reward? But in those days, shlichus was a new thing, very new thing, very rare thing. And therefore, that was the question that this chassid asked. The Friedrich Rebbe said to him, the previous Rebbe said to him, what will you get from it? You'll get a story. I will tell you a story that will be what you'll be able to gain. The story is as follows, the previous Rebbe said, Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson, the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe. He said, I was once sent as a shliach by my father, the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Chabad Rebbe, and he gave me a certain shlichus, he gave me a certain mission to accomplish, which involved traveling. Now, I generally traveled first class because I needed to concentrate, I needed to have time to daven, I needed to have time to learn. And if I would have traveled in a regular car, I would have been very, very distracted by all the people around me. And therefore, I would generally travel first class in order to be able to have some privacy. But it so happened that there was a Jew who was also in the first class compartment, and he wanted to speak with me. I didn't really want to speak with him because I was very busy. He was a Jew that was not really so involved in his Yiddishkeit, and I had a lot of important things I had to take care of, and I was not so anxious to speak to him. But he was very anxious to speak to me, and he kept asking me, who am I? And I didn't want to tell him who I was, because that would have just made more conversation. I really didn't have time right then to converse with him. I had other things I had to take care of, other obligations. And then he said to me, well, okay, if you won't tell me who you are, so tell me what you do. So I answered him, I'm a melamed. I'm a teacher of children. So he said to me, I never saw a melamed travel first class, meaning that a teacher of children, especially in those days, did not receive a very high salary. And it was very, very unusual for a person who was a melamed to be able to afford to travel first class. So he was asking, how can you travel first class if you're a melamed, doesn't make much money? So the previous Rebbe answered him, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak answered him, that I didn't say that I earn a parnasa as a melamed. I didn't say that I earn my living, my salary as a melamed. You asked me what I do, not how I earn money. What I do is I'm a melamed. That is, like every Jew has to be melamed. Every Jew has to be a person that teaches children or teaches adults that don't have much more knowledge than children. Every single Jew has this responsibility to teach another Jew who knows less than them. That's the story which the previous Rebbe told this chassid who he wanted to send on a shlichus, on a mission. And the chassid asked, what do I get out of it? So the previous Rebbe told him this story. So this story, in other words, is telling this chassid, this is what you get. This is your shlichus. This is what's so important, to go and spread Yiddishkeit, to go and spread Torah mitzvahs. And so for us, this is also an important story. Every single Jew is responsible for every other Jew. And therefore, if we can teach another Jew Torah, we have to try to do it. Whether it's a friend or a relative or somebody we meet, of course, it has to be a safe situation, to try to teach another Jew Torah. Now, in our times, we have an extra mission, which is to teach about Mashiach. As the Rebbe said, the most direct way to bring about the Geula is by learning about Mashiach and Geula. And therefore, all of us can help bring Mashiach quicker, more directly, by learning about Mashiach and Geula and by teaching about Mashiach and Geula, whatever way that we can. And so this is something which I hope that we will all take seriously. And in addition, we will tell our friends and our family about this, that when we learn Torah, of course, any part of learning Torah helps bring Mashiach quicker, no question about it, any mitzvah. But in our times, a special emphasis, as the Rebbe explains, is to bring Mashiach, to bring Geula. And therefore, it's most important, very, very important, to do so in the most direct way, which is through learning about Mashiach and Geula. Therefore, we will now try to finish up chapter 11 of the Rambam, Maimonides, Hilchos, Melachim, Milchum, Losehem, which the last two chapters are also sometimes referred to as Hilchos Mashiach, because that's what they focus on. And in the beginning of Halacha Dalet, Rambam explains how to recognize who Mashiach is. And he is a person who comes from the house of David. A king arises from the house of David, which means he was a person of great importance. And he is descended from David HaMelech. He occupies himself with Torah and mitzvahs in a most extraordinary way. Tremendous knowledge of Torah and tremendous care in doing mitzvahs. And he then influences all of B'nai Yisrael to go in the ways of Torah, to strengthen the Jewish nation, bringing them close to Torah mitzvahs. They should learn Torah, they should do mitzvahs. And then Mashiach has to fight the battles of Hashem, which means to do whatever has to be done to accomplish this, whether it's expanding education or reducing assimilation, that is, Jewish people getting lost among the nations, standing up for Eretz Yisrael, not giving back land, and so forth. And at that point, the Rambam says, we can assume that this is Mashiach. And then the Rambam goes further, and he said that if he does these things successfully, and he defeats all the nations around him, which doesn't have to be a physical war, but meaning that anybody that is trying to weaken Yiddishkeit, weaken Judaism, weaken the Jewish nation, and it could also include militarily, Mashiach will stand up for us in that way. And then he has to build the Beis HaMikdash on its place in Yerushalayim. And then he has to gather all the Jewish people back to Eretz Yisrael. At that point, he is definitely Mashiach. At that point, there's no doubt that he's definitely Mashiach. But the proof is in his actions. In other words, to go from being assumed to be Mashiach to definitely Mashiach, he has to succeed in his efforts, build the Beis HaMikdash, and gather all the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael. At that point, Mashiach will fix the entire world and influence the entire world to serve Hashem together. As the Pasuk says, that then, at that time, at the time of the Geula, in Sefanya, Hashem says, I will turn all the nations of the world to a pure language, meaning that they will all call upon the name of Hashem and serve him together. Now, the Rambam goes on to say that if this person did not succeed in all of that, or he was killed, it's obvious that he's not Mashiach, which the Torah promised. He's not Mashiach, because all the prophets tell us that Mashiach is the one who will be the Goyal, the Redeemer of the Jewish people. He will gather them together, reinforce the Torah and the mitzvahs, and so forth. Now, what about these false Mashiachs from this religion or from that religion? So the Rambam explains that these are definitely false Mashiachs. There's no way that such people can be ever considered Mashiach. And actually, this part of the Rambam was removed from many, many editions of Rambam by the non-Jewish censors, those people that were assigned to edit Jewish books the way they wanted them. Jewish people were under their rulership. And so the Rambam explains why it was that Hashem allowed so much of the world to be fooled into thinking that these people were Mashiach, when it's obvious that they were not. They didn't strengthen Torah mitzvahs at all, for example. They weakened it, not to mention causing the death of many, many Jewish people. So the Rambam explains that by so many people in the world thinking about the concept of Mashiach, the concept of Torah, the concept of mitzvahs, this actually prepares the world for the correct Mashiach. True, they are misinformed about many, many things. And first of all, making a mistake about who Mashiach is, and making many other mistakes about what Torah mitzvahs means and so forth. But at least the whole world is aware that there's such a thing as a Mashiach. And when the right Mashiach comes, who qualifies according to Torah, then they'll say, aha, so this is the real Mashiach. And we receive so much false information from our parents and teachers. Now we see, they'll recognize the true Mashiach. It happened immediately, especially through our learning of Torah and mitzvahs, especially in the month of Elul, where we're increasing in Torah, tefillah, tzedakah, and in teshuva and in geula, that it's certainly time, and certainly Mashiach can come any moment. Therefore, by our efforts, we can make it happen even quicker. Thank you so much for joining Jewish Stories and More. Kasiva v'chasim v'tayva, l'shana tova masuka. May we all be written and sealed for a good and sweet year.